think that there is a part in every one of us and in every human that wants to search for the mystery that is at the core of life. And I think tied up in that is love. I think tied up in that is God. I think there's just a natural part of us that searches, and there's a natural part of a human being. Now, I don't think that everybody finds it as easily as others. I don't think that some people know what to do with it when they begin to tap into it. That's kind of why we have religion, I think, all right? But there is a part in every single person that wants to tap into that. There's a part in every single person that longs for that kind of connectivity that exists in life. I know that many years ago, you know, many of you know that I've been a campus minister now for 28 years. You'd think I'd eventually graduate from college somewhere along the line. But nonetheless, in doing that work, I've helped a lot of students, not just the Catholic ones, but really any of the ones that come my way. And one of the things that I did, especially over at Southeast, and we were trying to do it here, but I don't think it's come to pass, I advised a fraternity. Okay? And advising the fraternity, of course, there were people from all kinds of walks of life and different religions and everything else. But I remember one young man who really was quite the ladies' man. And he really just didn't see any problem with playing the field and dating anybody that he could. All right? And, every once in a while we'd be involved in these conversations and he'd say, "You don't always approve of that, do you, Father Jay?" And I said, "I don't necessarily think it's good for you." And he'd say, "Well, why?" And I'd say, "Well, the deal is one of these days you're going to fall in love. And when you fall in love, it's going to matter to you. And you're going to be really bad at it." And he kind of looked at me and he said, "Well, at least I guess now I have an answer." But I'm here to tell you that about 2 years later, exactly that happened. He fell in love. And for the first time, a relationship really began to matter to him. And he did come to me at one point in time and said, "I'm really bad at this. How do I do this?" And I said, "Well, I will not be able to give you any direct, help, but I will certainly try to talk you through it as best as I can, in terms of how to give your life over to somebody else. Because once you decide that you're going to die to yourself, it changes everything in the equation. It changes everything in the world." And I'm happy to say that he's been a great husband for many, many years now because he learned how to be faithful. He learned how to be loving. And I'm proud of him. I love him to death. And they are a wonderful couple. But it took him, not just me telling him what to do or saying, "Here's my value system and now you've got to take it on." But it took him doing it from inside himself. He was the one that had to find those pieces that were missing. He was the one that had to make that value judgment. And I'm happy I was there to walk along with him as he did it. But it's that kind of reality that God is talking about when he's telling Jeremiah how he's going to change the way he does. Because God said, "In the old way that I made the covenant, I gave you the rules and I said, don't break them." But he said, "In a new way of doing the covenant, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to come to dwell in you. I'm going to come to dwell in you. I'm going to put my law in you. And it's going to be so close to you that you're just going to live it." See, that's what happens when we make the choice. That's what happens when we commit to the relationship. That's what happens when we decide that we want to belong to God because the relationship matters. And because of that, we start living in it a completely different way. It's then that it really starts to mean something to us. And then, to apply that to the gospel, okay, that's when, first of all, look at those Greeks that were looking to see Jesus. Look what they were searching for. They wanted to see Jesus. They'd heard about him. They'd heard that he'd made a difference in all these other people's lives. And now they want to encounter him themselves. And so they go to Philip And then Philip and Andrew go to Jesus and they say, these people want to see you. These people want to meet you. These people want to know you. And Jesus then gives them the key to the whole thing. He just says, if you learn how to die to yourself, if you learn how to die, you're going to be fine. Unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Are you and I willing to die enough to ourselves that we're going to produce abundant fruit for the Lord? See, that's what matters to us. God comes to dwell in us. We've already taken His Word inside of us. Hopefully that's now going to take flower and grow. In a few moments, we're going to take the Eucharist inside of ourselves. That too is supposed to take flower in us and grow. But only if we let it. Only if we allow the Word and the Eucharist to transform our lives. Only if we're willing to die enough so that we can become other Christs rather than just continuing to kind of mess it up by ourselves, which we are prone to do. But if we strive to become other Christs and let Christ live in us, it's not going to just simply be following a list of laws. It's going to be us living the life of Christ. And if we live the life of Christ, then everything changes. Not just checking off laws on a list. That's our faith. Jesus was faithful. Jesus says, what am I supposed to do? Say, Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this hour that I came to be. Then He says, Father, glorify Your name. And He hears the voice of God saying to Him, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. I'm going to glorify it again in you. And the same be said of us other Christs. Can God glorify it again in us? But that is that, after all, what we long for? Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we hope that maybe tomorrow we're going to be able to do it a little bit better than we were able to do it today? That's why hope springs eternal. Because Christ lives in us. And that is what others hopefully can see. You see, each of us yearns for that connectiveness. Each of us learns for that life in us. Each of us yearns to connect with that mystery that is God. And so let us pray that God may dwell in us, that we may be other Christs.